Hello and welcome to the Greenfield Baptist Sermons Podcast. Each week we will be uploading the focus scripture and sermon from Greenfield Baptist Church in Northeast Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us and enjoy.
Thank you for this morning. Thank you for a chance to sit on the table, to gather together, to be in your house on a beautiful morning, an opportunity from to hear your voice that speaks to our lives. Care. Only worse. Well, it would be better if it just didn't work, but it works half the time. We'll just use this one for right now. We'll make a plan. Yeah, I know, Lauren. Oh, pastor, she says. So you're going to hear a scripture this morning that you probably have heard 100 times, right? And so much so that we use the term Good Samaritan, and actually legalese as well, because the understanding is there's an opportunity for people to help without retribution. People who are trying for a good reason to help. I want to challenge you as you hear this story. You've heard it probably 100 times. You know the story. It's part of our vision here, right? To be neighbors, make neighbors, and build God's neighborhood. And that's kind of why I'm jumping on this scripture again today. But to not forget our vision here at Greenfield. But here's what I want you to listen for this morning. I want you to listen for how the Samaritan loved his neighbor. I want you to pay attention to how, because I want you to think, and I'm going to challenge you this morning. Thank you. I'm going to challenge you this morning to begin to ask yourself the hard question. How am I loving my neighbor, right? Because the reality is this. There is a sense of, like, obligation, right? There's a moral or moral obligation to love people in a certain way and treat them with some respect. But is that how the Samaritan treated this wounded individual on the side of the road? And I think it's very different. And so I want to challenge you to think about that. And mostly because it's challenged me. How am I treating my neighbor? Luke 10:25-37. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied, and how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, and he asked Jesus, so who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to a place, he saw him pass by the other side. But a Samaritan, an enemy, right? A Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Which of these three do you think was neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. May God thank you for this morning. Thank you for the chance to be in your house, to hear from you. Speak into our lives in a powerful way this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Does anybody have anywhere they have to be by 9:30? Okay, good. You have to be home? Worst pun ever.
She has a zinger
sometimes. Zingers, yeah. The only person to send me Christian memes. And some of them aren't appropriate. But I won't tell you who did that. So good morning. We do have 6 minutes. Good job, Mark. You're good at counting. 6 minutes. And then, let me see. Yep, that's right. So you got 6 minutes. So I'm going to go fast. Be like an auctioneer, right? No. So you know the story, right? You know the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we know a lot about what's going on there, right? And we've talked about it 100 times. Why does someone who doesn't have to help? Why does someone who does or maybe should help doesn't? But at the end of the day, I picked this scripture because I want to really just spend a few minutes talking about how should we love our neighbor? Now we get that our neighbor is not just the person who physically lives next door. It may be the person we come in contact with at Walmart or at our job, or our neighbor really is anyone that we come in contact with in any way, shape, or form. So how do we love our neighbor, right? And this is, what does it mean to love your neighbor? How do you love your neighbor? And of course, you know, this teacher of the law, he's really just trying to trick Jesus, right? He's playing a game. He thinks he can justify himself. And that's what it says, right? He gets an answer, and the answer is a pretty good answer. But he has to move to another layer, another level. And so I really want you to think a little bit this morning about what it means to love your neighbor. And maybe you ask yourself the hard question, how have I loved my neighbor? And how have I loved my neighbor, and how will I love my neighbor moving forward? Let's just be honest. Some of our neighbors are hard to love. Guess what? You're a neighbor too. And you may be a little bit hard to love. My neighbors have chickens. So the chicken and biscuit dinner, Brentley's got the same neighbors I have. And those chickens are everywhere but where they're supposed to be. But I love those chickens, and my dogs have not eaten any yet. I do let them out once in a while to remind the chickens that they need to go home, which is a good time, right? Makes them all fly. They all fly back to Brentley's house. So Brentley and I are actively trying to love our neighbor any way we can. But how do we love our neighbor, right? And what is required of us to love our neighbor? And what does that mean? If you consider yourself a believer in Christ and follower of Jesus, that changes the script in some ways. It takes us to a higher calling, a way that we have to look at life maybe a little bit differently. And that's really what I want to look at real quickly this morning. Because Jesus asked him, so what's required, right? And I want you to think about this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Excuse me. And love your neighbor as yourself. On these two, right? These two things. Love God. I mean, this is how simple it is. We should all get tattoos, then we wouldn't forget. Hey, maybe we'll do it as a church event. We're going to get a tattoo. Love God, love your neighbor. Great idea. We can raise some money. I don't know. yeah, bulk discount. Yeah. I'm teasing, so don't be offended. I'm just messing. But love God, love your neighbor. Did you notice there was no put a tithe in the offering plate? Give of 27 hours a week volunteering. That's not on there either.
It's really pretty simple. So why do we miss it? Why do we struggle so much? This is the requirement. Love God with everything you got. Love your neighbor. My sense is probably we struggle with the first one, which causes more problems with the second one. Think about this for a minute. Love the Lord your God with everything you have. And it doesn't say this, but I'll paraphrase. And you'll probably be able to love your neighbor a little easier. Jesus reminds him, you've answered it correctly. Do this and you will live. You'll live. You'll be. So there's three types of people in this story. And Jesus says of the three, excuse me, I got a scratchy throat this morning. There are three groups of people. And Jesus is talking about the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, right? And I'm going to look at three groups of people but it's a little bit different this morning. I'm going to look at the robbers. Anybody want to be a robber? Right? Think about how the robber took care of this person on the side of the road. And ask yourself the hard question. Are there times when I treat my neighbor so badly that I kick them when they're down? That I rob them of something? Maybe their dignity, whatever. Are there people in my world that I come across that I treat bad? Because that was the very first interaction this person on the side of the road had. And nothing else would have mattered had that not happened. Someone did this person wrong. They took their money, they robbed them, they beat them up. Obviously enough to have wounds. And I would say, you know, as a good church person, we would say, I am absolutely not a robber. Right? I'm not out to get people, but I'm going to challenge you this morning to ask yourself the hard question and ask myself, do sometimes I treat people that way? Am I sometimes hard on people who are already down? Are there times when maybe I don't make any effort to help? Right? We watched that video. Did you watch that video? That was a social experiment video. And you see that homeless guy laying there? And he laid there for over 5 minutes. And how many? Is anybody a people counter? Gene Vogt's not here today. There's a lot of people walked by, right? I had a little extra time, I would have watched it a couple more times and counted. Probably 50, 60 people walked by. A couple people looked. One lady, I thought she was going to stop. And she looked and said, I made that taking a chance. The reality is that's a whole lot more like us than we'd like to believe. That social experiment just reminds me that we're probably a whole lot more like that than we'd like. I was walking, I went to a hockey game on Tuesday night. I think it was Tuesday night, yeah. And I was walking back to the square where I had parked. And I crossed paths with what I think was a drunk guy, I don't know. And in that moment, in the dark, I was all by myself. In that moment in the dark, I thought, okay, right? Because he's literally stumbling. And when I saw this video, I thought, yeah, I thought, what would I do if he'd have collapsed? Because it's easy to say, well, duh, you're the pastor, right? You have to do it, right? And that's exactly what happens with the second group of people, the Levite and the priest. They're the do-gooders. There's an expectation. What are you going to do when something happens? Duh, there's an obligation. You have to, right? You get to stand in front of the church, you better do it. Now, obviously, that guy didn't fall over when I was walking by him, and he didn't stab me, so that was good. It was in the dark, and we were all by ourselves. The reality is this. A lot of us think that there are certain people who should and have to respond, especially when it's not us, right? Especially when it's not me. Well, yeah, you're a medical person. You have to help out, right? The priest and the Levite, they were the people who knew the moral and the ceremonial laws. They knew the rules. They were what we might consider a little smarter, a little holier, a little more important than the regular person. And what did they do? Other side of the road. Right? They knew right from wrong. So the robbers, they might have known right from wrong, but they didn't have any sense of doing anything right. But the second group, they know better. And it's easy for us to say, well, yeah, they were Jews, and they, you know, we make all kinds of reasons, you know. Ceremonially, they were clean, and they had just come from where they were learning about what it meant. And maybe the robber looked dead. And we can't touch dead people, right? Because the Jews had very much rules against touching dead people. And we make all kinds of excuses for them. You want to know why? Because it's a whole lot easier to make an excuse for myself. You don't understand. Right? I can tell you how to treat your neighbor a whole lot better than I can tell you how to treat my own neighbor. I'm not blaming you. I'm telling you that's the truth. I'm really good at telling you how to treat your neighbor. I'm not as good at treating my neighbor the same way. Do gooder or not. Those aren't the people I want to talk about. So we're already 5 minutes over and I haven't even got to where I want to go. Galatians 5:4 says, if you're trying to make yourself right by keeping the law, you have already been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. You know, if you didn't hear what that says, think about this for a minute. If you think you can follow the rules well enough, you've already missed the point. There's a whole chapter in Galatians that talks about freedom in Christ. And understand, he goes on to talk about circumcision and uncircumcised and trying to teach the Galatians about what it really means to be and have faith. And it's a whole lot more than getting stuck in the rules. If I follow the rules, I'll be okay. And Paul says it's really the opposite of that. Let's talk real quick about the enemy. Right? The enemy. The Samaritan was hated by people. I've heard it likened to somebody from Iran or Iraq or someone who wants to take your life. That's how they were not liked. They were hated. And so for this person, the enemy to come and show love to someone, their neighbor, was it really their neighbor? Absolutely, because they showed love. And what did this, so let's just talk real quick. What did this Samaritan do? Because he could have went over, shook him, and said, hey, are you okay, buddy? And then just rolled him over. Could have threw a couple coins down there. He went over and above, and that's the piece I really want you to hear this morning. I don't know where that came from. I must have added it and didn't realize it. That's not what I want. There you go. Now, if you're of a certain age, you may know or remember Mercurochrome. If you're not, you don't. This stuff could cure anything. I don't know what's in it, but probably mercury and chrome. just my guess. And red food coloring. Yeah, I know. Heavy metals. It's good. It's all good. I put this picture up there because did you see what the Samaritan did? He took his own oil, right? Why would we put oil? We put cream on things that get all burned up and brushed and tore up, right? And why would he use wine? Sterile, cleanse it, right? You'd be able to clean those wounds out, right? And this, he didn't use Mercurochrome. Numbs pain, yeah. He didn't use Mercurochrome, but I used Mercurochrome as a kid. And when I saw that little dauber, and if you don't know what that is, someday I'll show it to you. It's really cool. It would run down there and drip, and it would get on a drop on there, and you could put it on your whatever terrible wound. It's like kids and Band-Aids, right? Because we all know that kids and Band-Aids solve all of kids' problems. When I was in Texas with Lumina, I was like, she fell and scratched her Band-Aid, solved the problem. ta-da, right? Wipe your tears, good to go. The Samaritan took the time and energy to clean out this person's wounds. Doesn't say, we don't know how much, right? Doesn't really matter. And then he bandaged them up. He took the time to clean his wounds and bandage them up. Not only didn't he say, like, well, go on your way. I just think there's so many steps to this. He took him somewhere to have time to heal. He didn't drop him off at the entrance and just throw him off. He let him ride his own mule while he walked. He dropped him off. And what else did he do? He paid for him, and he said, listen, if it costs more, I'll be back. I'll take care of anything that happens. Is that over and above? Would you say that would be over and above the call of duty? Absolutely. That's the point of the parable, right? Jesus' point of the parable is this. It's so far over and above what's expected. There's a scripture in Matthew 5:41, and it says, if someone asked you to go a mile, go two. That reference is this. In Old Testament times, people would be forced into work in these moments when the poor people would be forced to work. So do you remember when Jesus is trying to carry his cross to go to Golgotha right before his crucifixion? There's a guy by the name of Simon of Cyrene. Do you remember that guy? He doesn't have much in the scripture, but he was called into service in that moment to carry the cross because Jesus couldn't carry it. That's not. We're going to give you $10 to carry the cross. It's you're going to carry the cross, and if you don't, well, you'll either be in jail or dead. Right? Is this mindset that the poor would be called into service when there was a need by whoever? And so Jesus is talking about that when he says, if someone asks you to go a mile for them, go a second mile. Over and above. Love them more than they deserve to be loved. Love them twice as much. That's hard. I don't know about you, but some people are hard to love. Some people are really hard. How far will you love your neighbor? How far will you love him? Like a robber? None. Like a do-gooder to the obligation? Or like the enemy, the Samaritan, which is over the top? I just want you to know this is not easy. I'm not asking you to do something that's a walk in the park. But I think some Sundays we need to come and we need to really come to terms with where we're at in life. And there are moments in our lives that I do believe define us. And I think there are times when we need to come to terms with the fact that, yes, there are a lot of people in our lives who don't deserve love. But guess what? There are probably some times in our life we don't deserve love. And I keep coming back to this question. How much did Jesus love me? I don't know about you, but that rocks my world. Because I know who I am. And I'd be the first one to tell you that I ain't all that. I might get to stand in front of you, but I ain't all that. And yet, Jesus went to the cross for me. It forces me to look at life a little differently. Because if I'm being honest, there are people in my life I don't want to love sometimes. There are people in my life that are hard to love sometimes. And then there are people who are easy to love. The reality is, though, it's not for me to pick and choose who I love. Because everyone is my neighbor. Even when the chickens come over. Funny irony. One neighbor has chickens, the other one brings me eggs. I don't know how that works. Delivered to my refrigerator. Pretty good deal. Let me challenge you this morning. Everyone you come in contact with is your neighbor. If you're a follower of Jesus, you need to love them like that. If you don't know who Jesus is or you're not following him yet, well, there's an opportunity this morning, an opportunity to follow him, to change the course of your life. Jesus changed the course of the world when he went to the cross. And as we talked about this morning, the only constant in this world is Jesus. Everything else, in the words of a good friend, everything else will burn. Everything else will burn. If you don't know who Jesus is, I'd love to talk to you about that this morning. We're going to sing, we're going to have an offering, and there'll be an opportunity for you to come forward. And I just want to challenge you and encourage you. Maybe you have a neighbor you need to deal with. Maybe you need to take that to God. Maybe you don't know who Jesus is in your life. Maybe you want to understand that a little bit better. Maybe you just want some prayer for something. It's open and there's an opportunity. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for this parable that Jesus would share with this teacher of the law, this someone who knew, Lord, all the details and the rules, and yet Jesus would challenge him to ask himself the hard questions, who is my neighbor? And who is my neighbor isn't the only question, but how do I love that neighbor? Lord, help us in those areas of life where we are struggling to love our neighbor. Some of our neighbors aren't easy to love. Lord, give us power that we wouldn't otherwise have any control over or desire to go in that direction. Remind us that you are big enough. In your name we pray. Amen.
I've heard it observed in the